From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Corey Scott, the new CEO of Midwest Dairy. Riley speaks with Dr. Dara Harris of Landis on the importance of mental health. And Dustin and I discuss the impact of the headlines on the dairy industry in recent weeks. You're listening to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, thanks, Mark, and welcome to another episode of Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Huffman. I'm back in the saddle, but Andy out there planting today and just calls me before we're getting ready to do the show, and he said, I'm having some planter trouble. I need Mark to pinch hit. So, Mark, you're back in again. We're going to the bullpen right away at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, happy to help. You know, my arm's not too tired, even though I did fill in here earlier this week. But you're right. I sympathize with Andy because when you got to get out there in the fields, when you get those chances, and he has that chance right now, especially because, Dustin, we were just looking at the forecast for tomorrow here in the office.
Yeah, that we were. And we're talking the lowest chance I've seen of rain so far this week, this whole week for Friday, which has been pretty much inevitable, is 88%. So we're looking at a near 100% chance of rain, which, you know, with Iowa's luck usually in the drought the way it had been, was that that means we have a 12% chance of not getting rain, and that's probably the one that's going to stick. But right now it seems like rain's going to be likely into the forecast. And, of course, that'll affect the markets. Speaking of markets, you're going to be sitting down now with Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments. And don't forget, segment one here brought to you by Experior from Elanco. All right, Mark, let's see what's going on with those grains.
Joined today by Eric Ralph of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Eric, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Kind of a mixed bag here this morning. We've got a little bit of strength in the wheat after several days sharply higher, and corn's getting drug along a little bit there, just up a little less than a penny in the break here this morning. Soybeans taking a bit of a hit, down about 8 in the break. You've got meal down, oil down, not a lot in either of the products, but beans are taking a little bit of a hit here. So kind of a plethora of influence right now. Obviously, we're in planting season, so everybody's focused on the weather and the planting percentages and what kind of progress is being made and how bad is it going to be slowed by the systems coming through this weekend. So you've got definite influence there. You've got a lot of attention being paid to South America, Argentina in particular right now, because they are harvesting beans. They're expected to be about 20% complete with that bean harvest by the end of this week. Then they will start to put a lot of meal on the global market. So while we saw a really nice number on the weekly export sales for soybean meal this week, that could change in the coming couple of weeks. So definite focus being paid there. Corn blew the top end off of the weekly export sales expectations and came in with a really nice number at 1.3 million metric tons there, where the high end of the estimate was 900,000. So just kind of a mixed bag of feeling here, and how far forward looking are we going to be, and trying to dial that into the market a little bit here this week.
As you mentioned, with Argentina, dealt with quite a bit of pressure with the corn crop, and for the soybeans, like you mentioned, harvesting now, what is the expectations there? Do they have any problems with their soybeans, or has it been more smooth sailing?
More smooth sailing for the soybeans. The problems down there came after the soybeans had already reached maturity, so they don't have near the issues there. They had a really nice growing season for the first time in 4 years, and so a normal crop is fully expected as far as the soybean front. Now, corn's a different deal, and we're seeing those trims being made already. You're looking at the Buenos Aires Grains Exchange trimming from 57 million metric tons of corn production down to 50 million. So some big chunks being taken off, with further reductions expected if they don't get these insect issues under control down there. But with regards to the initial question, yes, soybeans did have a nice season, should have a good harvest, and then their big game is meal, so that's where they'll turn to.
We'll have more from Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments coming up a little later on in the program. Right now, Andy Peterson standing by. He's got round one of the three big Iowa Ag Matters for you.
Number three.
Pleased with the results of the 2024 Iowa legislative session is Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag.
Good session again for agriculture. We've got great support in both chambers, and so, you know, as they wrap up the legislative calendar, of course, budget takes full focus, and again, we had a strong support for continuing some really important priority issues, certainly water quality and soil conservation being chief among those.
He says it was a no-brainer to step up funding for foreign animal disease preparedness in light of recent concerns over the bird flu. And finally, the legislative initiatives will go a long way towards helping promote Iowa products, both in-state and abroad.
Number two.
Not in favor of a proposed sale of an Iowa fertilizer plant to Koch Industries, according to the University of Illinois Farm News policy. Sale worth $3.6 billion, but farmers attending the Iowa Farmers Union listening session told Lena Kahn, Federal Trade Commission chair, the consolidation is already squeezing their slim profit margins. The plant is located in southeast Iowa and received approximately $45 million in local, state, and federal economic development incentives and tax benefits over a decade to encourage the plant.
Number one.
Ongoing concern about the highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak in dairy cattle. Bert Nelson, an economist with American Farm Bureau Federation, says there are about 30 different cases, thankfully so far none in Iowa.
Tests in dairy cattle showed up around 3 weeks. We've seen some positive cases pop up in dairy cattle. And this is a developing situation. This is changing sometimes day by day, sometimes hour by hour. But what we do know so far is that milk is safe to drink. So the positive test in dairy cattle showed up around 3 weeks ago. Since then, we're at about 30 different dairy premises showing positive cases in 8 different states.
He adds, as always, the milk and other dairy products remain safe to drink. I'm Andy Peters, and those are your 3 Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Every day, you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more.
Well, the dairy industry has certainly been in the news headlines recently, and we're going to try and get back behind those headlines a little bit and discuss everything that's happening with avian influenza as it affects the dairy industry. We will do that coming up later in the show. But coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters, we will hear from Corey Scott, the new CEO of Midwest Dairy. And again, just a lot to talk about in the dairy industry right now. You're listening to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Make sure and check out our website anytime at iowaagnet.com. A lot to talk about in the world of the dairy industry right now, and that includes here on the show today as we have Corey Scott, the new CEO of Midwest Dairy, here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, the dairy industry's had a turbulent couple of years, and we all know about the trials and tribulations with trade, supply chain issues, the pandemic, and all of that. Dairy producers have proven their resiliency time and time again. But right now, the industry faces a new challenge. With the HPAI bird flu being seen crossing the species barrier into dairy cows, there's been a lot of concern over the safety of the products we see on store shelves. The message has become amplified after a Yahoo News story talking about the strains of virus being found in pasteurized milk. However, the story was not headlined in a manner that made it seem to the casual observer that their products were not safe. The article did verify the FDA and USDA have said that these are dead remnants of the virus and that the products are safe and the pasteurization process continues to be effective. However, the article does seem to call into question or cast doubt on the process of pasteurization and the job that producers are doing to make sure the infected cows are isolated from the supply chain. Many in the ag industry are questioning the source of the message behind the article. Some have already mentioned the names of several organizations who are known to be against animal agriculture. All of that aside, the milk supply is safe to drink, and the USDA once again stood up in support of that statement yesterday. American Farm Bureau's Bert Nelson reiterated this to the consuming public.
Number one, their milk is safe to drink. Spit cows are pulled out of the herd, so their milk is not allowed to enter the supply chain. Further, pasteurization kills both bacteria and viruses. This includes high path avian influenza, so their milk is safe to drink.
During this time, but completely unrelated to the situation, Midwest Dairy has welcomed a new CEO, and that is Corey Scott. She brings years of food and beverage industry experience and has worked with companies like Land O'Lakes and others. She has outlined the priorities she has for the dairy industry in her new role.
First, in order to increase dairy consumption, we have to build trust in dairy. And so you're going to see Midwest Dairy do a lot of work in understanding what our consumer-based trust levels are. We already know that there's a huge opportunity in Gen Z to build more trust. So you're going to see us focus some efforts in building that trust before that Gen Z becomes the next spending power. There's also unique categories of thought leaders where we need to build more trust, and sustainability thought leaders is one of those. The second piece to building trust and increasing consumption is ensuring that we have the products that meet the interests and the goals of those consumers that we're trying to reach. You already heard me talk about Gen Z. What they're seeking in dairy products is very different than what my grandparents are seeking in dairy products.
Research, innovation, and telling producer stories are also a large part of Scott's mission for the future of the organization.
When I'm speaking with farmers, one of the things that I want to emphasize is the power that their voice has. So when I think about the future of Midwest Dairy and the farmers that are in it, I want our farmers to know that they have incredible power by sharing their stories. When we go speak with consumers in our population centers, many, many of these individuals have never seen a cow, much less touched them or had the opportunity to even speak with a farmer. In the day and time that we exist in today, have a unique opportunity to engage on a different level, and that's through digital media.
Midwest Dairy represents 4,000 dairy farmers and works to keep building dairy demand. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman. April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Make sure you also check out our YouTube channel on YouTube, the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. You can find Dustin talking with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagg on the show later today. And coming up next, it is the Basis Report with Dustin as we get the latest cash prices from around the state here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Time to run down those elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Thursday. Seeing quite a bit of decrease in some of those corn and soybean bids around the state. Let's get to it. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're 3 cents over on corn, 441 today. Soybeans even at 1159. Cargill and Eddyville, a dime over on corn, cash bid 448. New Co-op Algona, 3 cents under on corn, 435. Soybeans 60 cents under, cash bid 1099. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 463. Soybeans, 65 cents under at 1094. At Ag State Alta, they're 2 cents under on corn, 436 for the cash bid. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1104. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 27 cents over on corn, 465. Soybeans, a dime over at 1169 for the cash bid. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 453. Soybeans, 45 cents under at 1114. At Lincoln Way Ethanol in Nevada, they're a nickel over on corn today, cash bid 443. ADM in Des Moines, they are a nickel under on soybeans at 1154 for the cash bid. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, 433. Soybeans 60 cents under at 1099. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn, cash bid 428. Soybeans 40 cents under at 1119. At New Co-op Sheraton, they're 20 cents under on corn, 418. Soybeans 65 cents under at 1094. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, they're at 432. Soybeans, 42 cents under at 1117. At New Co-op Glidden, they're 3 cents under on corn today, 4.35 for the cash bid. Soybeans 55 cents under at 11.04. Innovative Ag Farley, 6 cents over on corn, 4.44. Soybeans 39 cents under at 11.20. And Cargill Muscatine, 2 cents under on corn, 4.36. Soybeans 8 cents under at 11.51. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of the elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers, grain and livestock, coming to you from Mark and Andy. Also, don't forget about our free market podcast sent straight to your mobile device free of charge. Market analysis for the openings, middays, and closings. You can find them on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, and online at iowaagnet.com. More IAM coming up next. Well, as we mentioned beginning of the show, Andy is having a few technical difficulties with his equipment, Mark, and he is out there trying to get them repaired, and that's why you're stepping in today. But, you know, that kind of goes into a bigger picture we talk about this time of year.
Yeah, that's right. Mental health is something that is very important. You have those breakdowns, you know, put stress on you, all kinds of pressure to get back to work. And that is very relevant as Riley Smith visits with Dr. Dara Harris of Landis.
So we are here with Dr. Dara Harris. She is the Senior Director of Training and Performance with Landis, new on the job and everything. So we're just excited to be able to catch up with you, Dr. Harris. Please tell us a little bit about your prior experience before coming to Landis.
Thank you very much for having me. I will say that I'm probably not the most traditional road. We've joked that I don't think your high school guidance counselor says, all right, become an MD, then switch to sports, and then go to agriculture. But if you get to know me, you'll see that I've really always been drawn to supporting the people that have to perform. And so even when I was a physician, the last position that I held was focused on resident well-being. And it's become a passion of mine. You know, when you think about farmers, this is not a system where you can take a day off. This is a group that has to perform. And when I met with Matt Karstens and we started talking about the possibilities here, it really struck us both that, you know, we have resources. We have things that we have really been applying to athletes for years and years and have been starting to apply them to people in healthcare. And that there's just this phenomenal opportunity to bring the best in class resources and programs to a group that's holding up the rest of the world.
And we know there's a lot of unique mental health challenges as well as physical challenges, but we'll start with the mental health challenges of farming. I mean, especially at this time of year, we're looking at planting season and all the stresses that come with that of making sure you get the crop in the ground, you know, before it's too late so that you're able to get that crop cycle. So what are some of the things that you've noticed as, challenges that farmers face? And, you know, what are some of kind of the ways to tackle those challenges and make sure that everything goes as smoothly as it can?
And, I think you're bringing up something so important and very dear to my heart. I will say I'm new and I want to learn first. So I definitely never want to be someone who thinks that they're coming in with all the answers before they've really taken the time to learn from the people who are living it. And, you know, really what I keep seeing over and over again is the strength of this community. And I think when you put these challenges, the unbelievable uncertainty, the lack of control over everything from weather to all of these other forces, there's just no way for it not to create so much pressure. And what we're hoping to do is to start the conversations on what are the real supports like. I think some of it is going to be things that we know, making sure that there are resources, especially for suicidal ideation and things that can impact this community. and other things I'm prepared to go deep and figure out what is really needed. I do know that the access problems are going to require some creative solutions when we start looking at the shortages of mental health practitioners. So the next couple of months are going to be working with ag families to really make sure we understand what they need, and then bringing in the right kind of resources that are just best in class, including things for crisis needs and suicide risk.
Thanks, Riley, for that information. We look forward to part two of that discussion coming up here tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters. Right now, speaking of part two, round two right now of your three big Iowa Ag Matters, Andy has those ready for you right now.
Number three.
Pleased with the results of the 2024 Iowa legislative session is Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag.
Good session again for agriculture. We've got great support in both chambers. And so, you know, as they wrap up the legislative calendar, of course, budget takes full focus. And again, we had a strong support for continuing some really important priority issues. You know, certainly water quality and soil conservation being chief among those.
He says it was a no-brainer to step up funding for foreign animal disease preparedness in light of recent concerns over the bird flu. And finally, the legislative initiatives will go a long way towards helping promote Iowa products, both in-state and abroad.
Number two.
Not in favor of a proposed sale of an Iowa fertilizer plant to Koch Industries, according to the University of Illinois Farm News Policy. Sale worth $3.6 billion, but farmers attending the Iowa Farmers Union listening session told Lena Kahn, Federal Trade Commission chair, that consolidation is already squeezing their slim profit margins. The plant is located in southeast Iowa and received approximately $45 million in local, state, and federal economic development incentives and tax benefits over a decade to encourage the plant.
Number one.
Taking major steps in advancing the health of America's children through school meals, according to Ag Secretary and former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack. He says nutrition standards for school meals will be gradually updated to include less sugar and more flexibility with menus beginning fall of 25 and fall of 27. Department arrived at these changes after listening closely to public feedback and considering the latest science-based recommendations from the Dietary Guidelines for America.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa. Well, we've still got lots more to come here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll have a complete rundown of your midday numbers coming up, grain and livestock. See where they're at. I know we had a low start to the day. We'll see if that has continued on. And, of course, we're going to keep talking about kind of how mental health, the dairy industry's latest struggles, and the HPAI, all that kind of correlates together and stress for everybody in the ag industry, and how misinformation can sometimes be a bigger problem than the problem we're dealing with on the farms. All that and more coming up here on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, online at iowaagnet.com.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing for our Midday Market Discussion. John, what's happening with the grains today on Thursday?
Well, we got to start with that wheat market again, because that continues to be a strong market here. Pushing about a dime higher on that KC wheat. Watching the weather, we had some forecasts, maybe some rain materializing. it could help out the western side of Kansas and Oklahoma, you know, with the latest crop ratings. But it looks like some of that rain is already starting to move to the eastern side, so maybe that's bringing a little bit more weather premium back in. We can see crop conditions slip a little bit more. That's pulling the Chicago wheat market up as well, trading around 8 to 9 cents higher as we're kind of trading towards the highs of the day so far on that, on the wheat contracts. That's at least keeping corn supported here, but corn really can't find a whole lot of traction. You know, we kind of had kind of a tough day yesterday with a difficult close. We got July tied to that 450 area, and September to 460, May just a little bit under 440. You know, we are in the window here. We got options expiration for May options tomorrow, so we'll be watching those fairly closely and how that plays out. But at least that wheat market providing a little bit of support. And then on top of that, too, we have really good export sales for corn this week. So that was encouraging to see.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's more livestock news. As we head over to the protein sector, unfortunately, got quite a bit of red on the screen. What's happening with the cattle and hogs?
Now, the cattle market's been a whipsaw today. We've been red, then we've been green, then we've been red. Now we're back to green. So, you know, cash trades coming together a little bit. 182 is what we're starting to hear for the cattle market. Steady with last week in most areas in that regard. You know, retail values, you know, were softer yesterday, but kind of watching how they're trending today. We did firm back up again, about the basically the same distance we lost on choice carcasses. So that may be providing a little bit of a boost here. You know, so that cattle market trying to get through that news that came out yesterday regarding milk and the HPAI and the potential, you know, like dead pieces of the virus is still in milk. How does that restrict any cattle movement? We're hearing talk along those lines. So I think that's just something that just got this market uneasy overall. Hog market today, big spin back. Again, that was a market that we're really trying to figure out where we're going here. You know, we had a hard run back off those lows, couldn't quite get back to those original highs. And now we're down a couple bucks again today on those summer contracts. I think we're just ping-ponging back and forth, maybe just trying to find a midpoint between the most recent set of highs and lows here during the month of April.
John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing, our guest here today. John, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Sure, Mark. Love chatting with you anytime. Feel free to give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And don't forget that website of ours, totalfarmmarketing.com.
Thanks so much for the time. Have a great rest of your day.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 1 1/4 at 439 even. May soybeans down 10 1/4 at 1155 3/4. On the Merck, June live cattle up 37 cents at 175.62. May feeder cattle up 27 cents at 244.37. May lean hogs down $1.72 at 95.62. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
As promised, here's Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments rejoining Mark Magnuson to talk livestock.
Let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What are we seeing with the cattle and hogs?
Yesterday was a bit of a surprising break in the cattle, I guess, for some. Technically, we needed that break. On Monday, when we came off of that bullish cattle on feed report released on Friday, of course, we can't trade it. It comes out at 2 p.m. on Friday. So Monday morning, we gapped higher in all contracts of both live and feeder cattle. And then the expectation by many technicians was that we would probably go back and fill those gaps. The question is always, when do you do that? Well, a lot of contracts as of yesterday did that. There's still potential for a little more downside in the cattle from a technical standpoint. When you look at the fourth quarter live cattle in particular, still some open gaps there for Monday. I'd like to see those filled just to fulfill that need, that technical need to do that. Once that's done, fundamentally, the numbers are all bullish, and I think the cattle can make another run here. But short term, could see some weakness, especially if we see boxed beef continue to struggle a little bit on the weekly export sales front. Nothing too surprising there. It was just kind of a run-of-the-mill number. And so not a lot to move the needle. However, I would add this morning, GDP number came out a little disappointing and we're taking a hit in the stock market. And the cattle complex particularly is always sympathetic to the stock market. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Hogs have been ripping again. We did take a corrective retracement after making highs here a couple weeks ago. Pulled back for several days. It looked like maybe the highs are in, and that may still be the case, but we are making at least another run at it here in the last several days. I don't know if we'll be able to take those out or not. We've probably uncovered enough hedge pressure in those summer months that it will be difficult, but the hogs still look pretty good.
From the consumer side of things, Eric, have you seen any studies or indications that people are choosing pork more than beef right now based just purely on price, and that is causing them to do that in the grocery store? Has there been a trend there at all?
There has been, and you can take that back about a year now, and there has been a trend to pull a little more pork out of cold storage. That's the big number that's kind of reflective of the domestic consumption. Is that cold storage report. And while month over month, we were a little higher when you looked at this most recent cold storage report that came out yesterday, we're still down over 10% from year ago levels. So you are seeing a lot of that supply being pulled out of the freezers and put onto the shelves. And that can only be a result of increased demand. Likewise, you know, you've got cattle slaughter numbers. Although we've kind of ebb and flow that number a bit based on carcass weights, but they're definitely, the packers are slowing down the chain speeds. We're importing more for hamburger. We're not selling the quantity of prime cuts that we normally would.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Dustin and Mark on Iowa Ag Matters here today, and we've got a lot to talk about coming up next segment as we will discuss all of the happenings in the dairy industry right now as it relates to avian influenza, some of those headlines that we're seeing in the news, and what the public is doing in terms of a reaction to those news stories. That's coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters.
Welcome back to Iowa Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Dustin and Mark here with you today. And boy, we've talked a lot today, Mark, about stress, talked about the dairy industry. And boy, those two have gone hand in hand for far too long here in agriculture. And of course, the latest thing to hit the dairy industry is the bird flu, which I know a lot of people are saying, why are we still calling it the bird flu? Well, that's how we identify the strain. But, you know, this whole situation with the dairy industry and what they're having to put up with for, the fear that's going on. As I mentioned in my segment earlier, you see news stories that are out from, let's call them quote unquote news outlets, because just because you tack news on the end of something doesn't mean it's, an actual, anyway, that's a whole other story. But the thing is they're coming out with headlines talking about how the virus is still in milk after pasteurization. And the problem with that is that sends a message to the public that it's not safe. And you look at this situation, Mark, we've heard from FDA, we've heard from USDA, we know the pasteurization, the science behind it. The milk is absolutely safe. And to cast doubt on that situation, even though the article itself says the virus is dead, that throws a whole big question mark up to the consuming public about whether or not they can trust us. And that's the kind of misinformation and sometimes slanted information we have to put up with quite a bit here in this industry.
And Dustin, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think this is where kind of we come in, because we need to help be the link between the public and the ag community, to let the story be told that the milk still is safe to drink.
Very much so. Very much so, Mark.
And what you're mentioning, that remnants that they found of the virus, it's, inactivated material is the way I heard the term claimed, which you more or less could call it basically the dead virus, correct? Is
correct.
That how you could say it? So yeah, there's leftover particles of what was once a virus, but it is no longer a virus because it's been through the pasteurization process. And we know that there are so many steps in place to make sure that the food that we eat is safe, it is inspected, it passes all of those benchmarks. And this is just another one of those safety valves, you know, the fact that we do know that this milk is safe because of that pasteurization process. And you're right, it's important to not just look at the headline, to read the whole story. And I think that's kind of what's happening right now. But at the same time, I've been impressed that the public has been seemingly taking this in stride. And when I say the public, I mean the public at large, not necessarily part of the ag industry, the ag community. I've been fairly impressed that they haven't, you know, overreacted to these news stories, because coming off of COVID, I wouldn't blame some people for being, you know, on a hair trigger to, I guess, look at a headline and maybe run with it a little bit.
You know, you're absolutely right. And in that article I was referencing, you know, they make the comment that, well, two people have been sick. Well, one of them was 2 or 3 years ago, and he had came in contact with contaminated birds. He was an inmate that was serving out part of his sentence with helping destroy the infected birds at a bird, you know, place. And one was a dairy worker that got infected as well here just about a month ago in Texas. But again, these are people that had mild symptoms and then they got on with it. And if you look at the, yes, you look at the grocery stores, yes, the dairy industry is still thriving. There are still plenty of products moving off the shelves. People are taking the stride. I think people are taking the whole process in stride, that they're following the science. The pasteurization has been working. And the thing is, what's really alarming is this article also raises, it's calling into question the producer's behavior. It's asking why that milk hasn't been separated. Well, the thing is, cattle, just like humans, you know, like for me, I'm going through a cold right now. Well, guess what? I was infected 2 or 3 days before I showed symptoms. You know,
exactly.
That's how
you don't always know.
Right, exactly. And so as soon as a cow, you know, shows or exhibits symptoms, that farmer is going to pull that cow, get it checked, and keep it out of the herd. Obviously, you got to keep milking it for its health, but that milk is going to get dumped. It's not going to be put into the food system. So, you know, the responsibility is there. Some of it's going to slip through because, like you said, some of them are going to be infected ahead of time. You can't just sit and spend the money testing animals that just don't have, you know, that don't show any signs, because it's an expense that farmers just can't afford when you have totally narrow profit margins. We'll have more coming up in a moment.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, thank you to Dustin, who's pulling double duty here today. He's actually our editor and helping to host the show. So thanks to Dustin. And Andy, hopefully we'll have everything sorted out with his planter as he's getting some work done on that here today and can join us again tomorrow. Mark Magnuson signing off. You've been listening to Iowa Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.